Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are.
What's up? What's up? It's Bubba, the Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Hope you're having a great day. And of course, the markets are doing nothing. Can you imagine that the entire world is waiting for Dr. Janet Yellen to speak tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. I don't know, can you get up that early? Because it's only, I think, 7 o'clock Pacific time, I think, or Mountain. It's 8 or so. I don't know if she can get up that early. That's what the whole market, we've now had 31 days in a row without a 1% move in the market. And here we are, everybody waiting with bated breath for Dr. Yellen. Now, let's analyze this ahead. Let's see if we can get this right and nail it, okay? Now, we already know we heard from Dudley from New York. We heard from Lockhart from Atlanta. And we heard from Fisher from Texas. I think he actually is retired. I forget. I don't remember. But either way, he is a big guy, and he was always a little bit of a hawk. So now three guys have come out and said, well, we got to raise rates. Maybe September is on the table. And before I finished, Bubba said, BS, bullshit, it ain't going to happen. But you never know. I've been wrong before. It won't be the first time. So now we've got the markets. What did the markets do after all that news? They did nothing. They hovered around the top. They didn't get hurt. They didn't get nasty. They just basically kind of whipped around a little bit, a little bit of back and forth chop. Okay. The Dow was, you know, basically since Mr. Dudley started this mess on the 16th of August, the market closed on the 16th of August at 18,552. And yesterday, the market closed at 18,481. So what do you think? Nobody cares. So it's a lot of pressure on Janet Yellen. A lot of pressure. It's all on what she says. Now, what if she says she agrees with the hawks? Okay. And we're going to raise rates. My guess is we see a very turbulent sell-off. Nice on a Friday, too, and nobody's around. I always wonder the timing of these yokels. But I think you see a pretty good sell-off because I think the street believes, like I believe, that this is all hooey, BS. Doesn't mean anything. Now, suppose she says that we're not going to raise rates, and you know we're waiting. We're data dependent. We are data dependent. Well, I think the market sells off anyways, but just probably lightly. In other words, we are only 180 points from the all time high. But at the end of the day, I think we've reached that pinnacle of where we can go. And I think that you'll see a little bit of selling. So, if she confirms the three guys, then I think we see a big sell-off. If she doesn't confirm, I think we see just a little bit of a sell-off. Okay? A little bit of choppy action. But their markets have been rather amazing. It has been 32 days since there's been more than a 1% move. And again, I want to warn, this is not like you shouldn't be, oh my God, because it is not an oh my God moment. We've seen this before. It happens quite often in the summertime. It's not unrealistic to believe that that's going to be the case. we've got no good news. I mean, you know, again, they can give me the BS all they want about how good the news is. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, I'll keep looking for it. I'll leave the light on at Motel 6, and hopefully it'll show up. But we're all waiting for the good doctor to use her usual double talk. And I can assure you that there'll be a lot of double talk in there, and that's where you could see the volatility on either side of the market. Once they determine what her stance is, then you could see some wild movement. Okay. And again, I think it will really more depend on where and what she says and whether or not she confirms. Now, I personally believe that that she had those guys go out and kind of talk it up to see the read from the market, and also to kind of stem the tide with the bubble that we've been growing. I mean, again, you can say I'm nuts, you can say I'm wacko. This is a bubble, okay? So at the end here, it will be, you know, does she confirm or does she not confirm? And that will create the action in the market. If she does confirm, then I think it creates a lot of whip to the downside. But again, I would think you'd see some spiking of volatility. Now, we don't see much of anything right now, so there is nothing to get overly excited about. And again, this is why I recommend that you kind of sit it out and observe. Because when you think about it, why would we want to get too overly involved here when there really is not much to get overly involved with? Okay. So it's the big Jackson Hole, and it's great that they do it on a Friday. That really takes a lot of good things into consideration, because if she does say something that could be harmful, can you imagine somebody, you know, not hearing it till late and hearing this and being nervous and going home and stewing about it, and what they'll feel like when they want to put the trigger to get out? And that is always something that you have to think about, okay, in a longer term perspective. Is, you know, that one of the reasons we always see a big move down on a Monday is because on a Monday is when we have, you know, you've had the weekend to stew about whatever might be bad news, okay? And that is something that, you know, you have to, you know, kind of watch and wonder about, is, you know, why do they do that? You know, it's tough enough. But that's what, you know, we'll see. It will be really coming down to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And the question is, will we get Jackson Hole? and, you know, we'll see how it does eventually play. The market will be with the market, and we don't fight it. So in the meantime, next week, I am starting a new futures class, part-time day trading, and a new options class, which will both start next week. And we're just now, we're in our second session of the hedging session. Not too late to get in, because you do get the opportunity to repeat them. So you can certainly get in now. Check it out at BubbaTrading.com. And make sure that when you miss an episode, okay, you go to libertytalk.fm and you download the Bubba Show, because we're trying to get bigger. We're trying to get better. We're trying to be there for you, because, you know me, I love to hang out and kind of help you out with the markets. And since I'm the only guy on television that actually is his own trader and doesn't trade somebody else's money, because I only trade my own money. So I think that, you know, is fun, and that's why I like to hang out here and, you know, kind of talk real strategy and not that garbage they like to spew elsewhere. But in the meantime, LibertyTalk.fm, get the Bubba Show, the download, and this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I'll be right back. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace, will be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. And You know, we talked a little bit about Yellen, one of our favorite topics, the Fed, and how bad it is and how we'd like to end the Fed. But, you know, one of the things that I find interesting, and I can never figure it out, okay, maybe you can help me. They keep telling me and talking about inflation, and I keep going, well, wait a second. What if I'm paying more for goods and services, if I'm paying more for gas, I'm paying more for food, how is there not inflation? How can you not count that as inflation? So I find that interesting. But I also find interesting the lack of anybody to want to admit what the hell's going on here. It's almost like they think that they're pulling the wool over our eyes. And I can understand that. From our current leader, I mean, he likes to do that quite often. He thinks that he's outsmarting everybody because, you know, he does talk down to most. But at the end of it, you know, it's like we always have a tendency as traders and as investors to fall into a trap. And it never ends well. Why would we expect this time to be any different? Okay, things don't change. Okay, markets don't change. Okay, so why is it we expected that this time will be different? I mean, what you really have now, okay, is you've got, in my opinion, you've got trade throughout the world that is more or less manipulated now. Okay, I mean, the way I see it is the Fed and the central banks are more or less manipulating money and dollars, and hence manipulating trade. And of course, it seems to me that they take turns doing it so one can be successful today and then tomorrow and as they roll. Okay. Now, what about the rising debt? Okay. Does anybody care that we just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt? Okay. I mean, is it not in our best interest to understand that the debt is ridiculous? If you or I did what they're doing, we'd be in a little bit of trouble. Okay. And then, okay, we've got the problem with the semi-revolution that we're seeing. Okay. And, you know, you can laugh all you want, but all of this violence is not because everything is hunky-dory. Violence comes when things are not good. And I think the biggest thing is, you heard that Germany, their people squawked when they had to talk about raising the retirement age to 69. Okay? And obviously, that's ridiculous because they're living to 85. I mean, you know, you cannot continue to fund these pensions with no money. Okay, you have to make the system where it can be, where we can all get out and where the money can have a chance to work. And of course, the way it's set now is no longer good because we live too long, and that ties into that. Not only are we living too long, but we don't create enough babies. So with a falling population, okay, and a rising elderly, not a good mix either. Now, the other thing that I find very upsetting to me is the workers. Okay, you know, I want to know, where has all the pride gone? Where's the pride of ownership gone? The pride in your work. Okay, where is it when the guys really cared about what they were building? Okay, where is it where the people really cared about the job? You know, I get these surveys all the time about customer service, and I laugh because I have bashed a number of these, okay, and written nasty letters, and I never hear back. So are they asking because they really want to know, or are they asking just because they think it'll make me happy? It's like when you're calling to complain and you have a problem with somebody, Well, I thank you for calling. Did I handle your needs? No, you didn't handle my needs. Well, but thank you for... I go, would you quit thanking me? I mean, don't we... What happened to true pride? What happened to work hard, make more money, grow, and become more successful? I think that that's become one of the bigger issues. I think that we have got too much of the entitlement society going. I think that we've lost sight of where the big prize is. I think that we're raising a generation of non-workers. You know, if you've watched the socialist demonstrations at college campuses, now I'm not necessarily blaming the kids, but, you know, everybody's got to take a little bit of ownership in there. And I think that, you know, part of the problem is that we don't know how to work anymore. Okay. You know, I don't know about you, but I started working with my dad on a truck when I was 8. I never been working, but I was there getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I did get my first job at 14 and I've been working ever since. Okay. And there's times I worked more than one job. There's times I worked 3 jobs. Okay. So where is it where we get this pride back and the pride of ownership? To me, I find that distressing, but I think those are issues that, you know, we need to look at and recognize, because that's where a lot of the problems fall. Okay. So, you know, now, you know, we continue to hear the, you know, free college. I want to know, and maybe somebody can actually answer this. Why isn't my college tuition tax deductible? I mean, they've now raped us and put in unbelievable amounts of money into college, and it's okay. I mean, I get it, but where's the tax write off? Where's the break? Okay, I mean, not only do I have to pay it, but I have to pay it with pre-tax dollars, and I get no write off. That don't feel very good. Okay, because that's like I'm paying more. I mean, where does this? Where do we get over this? You know what I mean? I don't quite understand the whole system. And yet they want to make college free. They talk about it all the time. And where are they going to get it free? Who is actually going to foot the bill? Well, we all know who's going to foot the bill. We are the taxpayer. This is another problem. Okay. The taxpayers, we get to pay the bill. Okay. You know, when do we get past all this garbage? When do we get back to a real American economy where you go to work, you spend your money, you make good money, the guy you're buying from makes good money, so he can hire somebody, and we continue to see the things roll and roll and roll? When do we get back to that? Okay, that's my thing. When do we get back to the regular country that we all grew up loving? And don't get me wrong, I love it now, but where do we get back to the real business and where we can actually go out and make a living? And I don't have to hear every other day about jobs, growth, Fed, taxes, boom, boom, boom. Well, I mean, when do we go back to being the most successful nation in the world and damn proud of it? That I find interesting as well. And these are just, you know, little quirky things that are becoming a bigger problem and a bigger problem. And the problem will not go away. We all know that problems do not disappear on their own, that they have to be addressed head on. Now, of course, the Keynesian way of economics does not believe in meeting problems head on. They believe in trying to kick the can down the road and hoping for a miracle. And we all know that hope is great to have, but when it comes to a real decision, it ain't so good. So think about that. Okay. Think about so far we got a lot of things going on, and we're going to step out here for a break. But in the meantime, when you miss one of my shows, you got to go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show, as well as the other shows there. I mean, it's a great network we have. We've got 24-hour content and also The Sporting Edge on the weekends. So go to LibertyTalk.fm and check it out. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, obviously, you know, I watch the ag markets a lot. And, of course, yesterday, as on every Wednesday, I do RFD radio with Marlon Bowling. And, of course, I do RFD TV every Tuesday and Wednesday. But I always like to share what I have to say because, you know, I don't necessarily care about the fundamental parts of the trade. I'm talking about what's going on in the trade. So let's go check out me and Mr. Marlon Bowling from RFD Radio, and we'll come back and comment when we come back. Let's go to Marlon right now. What do you say, Marlon? Good morning.
Happy Wednesday to you. How's things shaking in Chicago here?
Yeah, you know, they're shaking the trees, and there's nobody home. It's an extremely quiet trade again, and I think, you know, obviously this time of year, it's you know, especially in some of the other spaces, it's, you know, vacation, people aren't around, there's not a heck of a lot to do. And I think that's part of what we're seeing in the overall ag markets is, you know, in equities, markets, dull markets will drift higher because there's always money flowing in. In ag markets, when they're drifting and there's nothing going on, they typically tend to drift lower. And I think really what we've seen is more of a drift to the downside. There hasn't been massive volume. There hasn't been, you know, great amounts of selling. There hasn't been, you know, this panic sell. I mean, if you take a look, for example, at the beans, I mean, volume has been declining almost every day since, you know, about the 14th of August. So, you know, we continue to see this drift lower, and, you know, money will typically just dribble out of the ag space when there's nothing going on, because it's just there isn't funds that are buying those as retirement accounts. Those are more obviously as investments or trades. And of course, farmers and producers use them for hedging and protecting. So basically, I think we're just seeing an overall drift here and really a lack of interest, because there is nothing to really drive these markets right now. We're all kind of sitting waiting to see if the interest rates are going to rise, which would obviously strengthen the dollar. And I think at this point that's a lot of the weight that's laying on these markets. And I'm going to say to you that based on all the information that could have a dramatic effect on this, I think they're holding up pretty damn well based on what could happen here, you know, in the next few days, the next few weeks. Now, I don't really see an interest rate increase or a hike, but it's certainly on the table right now. And of course, on Friday, you've got Janet Yellen at Jackson Hole speaking, and we know how sensitive these products are to the U.S. dollar and to what's going on in the interest rate market. So that becomes, you know, the problem. So now we're just kind of dull and drifting. And again, we've seen steadily declining volume, which means that there's not a lot of players right now.
All right. I did want to ask you one thing. When we get into next week here, a week from today, in fact, it's going to be first notice day on the September contracts for all your wheat, your corn, your oats, rice, all your soy products. How much is that playing into what's going on in the trade right now? Can we even pay much attention to September?
I think no. I don't think much is going on. I think what we'll see is typically, I think we might see, you know, a little pop. I think what we'll find out is we may be, you know, once again, need a little bit, and there might be just a little bit of a squeeze coming in. But I think that'll take a few more days to develop here. I think really what we have here now is the basically on edge, waiting to see how the dollar is going to react, because, you know, the dollar has sold off, you know, quite a bit. And, you know, that will have a big determining factor. You know, we've seen what's happened with oil. That has come down, you know, since that's the recent high. But the truth here, Marlon, is the overall lack of interest in anything right now is really holding the trade back. And I think we'll start to see, you know, we have a long weekend coming up next week as well as we go into first notice. So that could create some action around there. But right now, I think all eyes are still focused on what's going to really happen with this dollar.
Very good point. I'm glad you brought that up. There's a lot more we can talk about here in just a little bit. Our very special guest, and he'll be back in a moment, is Todd Bubba Horowitz. He's with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Back with you on the morning edition of Commodity Wrap on a Wednesday. We're halfway through the trading week already, or just about anyway. Zach Troutman is running the board for us today. We have Todd Bubba Horowitz on the line. He's with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Great website. What can we find on there, Todd?
Well, you can find a lot of marketing information and hedging information, because this is where, you know, times like this, Marlon, is where it really pays to be hedged. You know, it's always pays to be hedged because it's just easier and you don't have to think about it. But, you know, we give a lot of free information. We want to help farmers and producers have a better grasp on the function of the markets. And that's really what we come down to, because it really everything, you know, we can talk about reports, we can talk about news, but it always comes back down to price action.
Okay, you were talking about the various factors that are tugging on the U.S. dollar here this week, and there are some upcoming meetings to keep an eye on. One thing that producers all across the country also have to keep tabs on is their energy costs, and I see where the crude oil market was down fairly sharply again overnight. Are there some opportunities out there where guys can maybe lock in their energy needs, maybe for grain drying, maybe for diesel fuel needs, you know, for harvesting activity this fall and heading into the winter here? What do you think about that? Should they hold off, or is this a decent time?
Actually, at this point, I'd hold off a little bit. I see oil going lower here. I think that, you know, I think we're pretty much range bound. Now, certainly, if we get back down to the low 40s, I would definitely lock in costs. Up here in the high 40s, I think we sit and wait. I think you're looking at the formation of oil is still fairly positive. You know, we're still in that contango, you know, as you go out in the future. I mean, we pick up approximately a dollar premium almost every month going out. But I think if we get down to the 40s, which is where I think we're going to go, I would certainly, you know, start to lock in some costs, because now, you know, at the upper end of a range, I'm never in a hurry to do anything. At the lower end, I'm in a hurry, because then, you know, there's other factors. You know, I'm not a big believer in the Mideast anymore. You know, that was a big driver a few years ago before we get into so much fracking here. So that was, you know, always a concern. You know, somebody in Saudi Arabia does something crazy, and of course the oil goes crazy. Now you can see every time we've had some news like that, the oil basically doesn't move. But if we get back down to around the $40 level, I would definitely lock in. Just as you're hedging, you know, your downside protection on your ownership, the things you're going to need, you can lock in the price on the upside. So that, you again, it's all about figuring it into your marketing cost and where it is, so that you know what number you need to be at so that you get that profit every single year.
Why are we seeing the pressure in the cattle this week?
You know, I think it's, again, more of a slow drift. I think, you know, we've had a very nice rally in cattle. I mean, you know, if you look at the fats, I mean, you know, we came up from, you know, 107. We went to, you know, actually almost, 114-ish, 115. And now we're getting a little bit of a sell-off. I mean, these are dry and dull markets right now as well. And I think a lot of places built up and bought, you know, for the holiday, you know, coming after Labor Day, the last big barbecue of the year. And I think that you're just seeing some natural selling in markets that are extremely quiet, that have other pressures that will lay on. But I think, again, you will see that we probably have reached another pretty good base here. And this is the kind of action that I actually like to see from my standpoint, because I'm looking for spots to buy. And I think really they're just giving me another opportunity to get in, because I do think we will see higher prices as we go forward.
All right. Well, thanks, Todd. Appreciate that. Again, he has a great website. Check it out. It's called BubbaTrading.com. Todd Horowitz from Chicago. We'll be back with more of the morning edition of Commodity Wrap right after this.
So did you notice that he kept trying to pin me into a fundamental reason for something, and I kept getting away from that part of it? And because that's what I believe. Okay. I believe that the markets are driven by price action. Okay. I don't think the fundamentals mean jack. As I say very often, the fundamentals are great, okay, if you want to buy a company and you have a good technical reason, and you want to buy a company for your long-term portfolio, then you want a good fundamental company that's going to be in business should there be a problem. But you would never, ever want to buy purely on a fundamental reason, because you'll find yourself making a lot of bad trades. So, you know, the markets are very challenging right now. I mean, you know, they're all kind of drifting lower. And one of the things we know is that in a market of dull market in the agricultural space, they typically tend to drift lower, whereas dull markets in the equity space tend to drift higher. And why is that? It's very simple. Because in the equity market, money is always flowing in from retirement accounts, from all the other things, and there isn't as much speculation. In the agricultural markets, in the commodity space, there is more of a speculative nature, which means more of a risk-on environment, which means that when there's nothing going on, people are not interested in being over-the-top risk, so they either pull their money out or they don't invest in them. The other thing is that farmers and producers will start taking some money because they're getting a little bit nervous of the lack of movement, so they'll start selling a little bit. So you get just a little bit of a drift. And I think that's what you're really seeing in the commodity space, is more of a little drift and not anything that is to be too concerned with. I think they still look pretty good. I'm comfortable. I'm an owner myself. So I think they look pretty good, and then we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, remember, we will cut risk if it becomes too risky. In the meantime, we're going to stop by here for a break. If you miss a show, libertytalk.fm. Make sure you check it out, and go check out BubbaTrading.com. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of great stuff there for you, and we're putting together a new farmer section, a new producer section, and we're putting together a new show for you guys on the weekends. In the meantime, we got stuff for everybody, and we want to hedge and teach you all the good stuff and how to be successful. But in the meantime, I got to step out for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be right back after the break. The
song was written by Fred Ebb and John Kander.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. We did a lot of stuff, but there's more. This is like a Ronco commercial, and there's more. But in the meantime, you know, can we put the rest that anything is going to be ever told to the truth to us from our wonderful government? You know, they only put out reports that they can kind of ease into. And it's not that they're not telling the truth. It's just the reports are somewhat custom tailored around what they do. I mean, you got GDP, another debacle. You know, I don't know why anybody really even cares to tell you the truth. I mean, it's like, okay, if the number's good, oh, well, then we'll have to raise rates so people get upset. And the number's bad, oh, well, they'll keep money cheap. And of course, most of us don't benefit from that, only the few benefit from that. But, you know, they keep referring back to Brexit like that's going to have an effect on today. And the thing I want to talk to you about, you know, we talked about, you know, price discovery and price action yesterday and a little bit earlier today, but price determines the markets, and the markets are telling you they're not concerned. Remember, we've got so much information flow today, okay? Not like, you know, years ago, we didn't have this much, that most of the stuff is pretty much priced in to the market. Okay, there isn't a lot of surprises. What you find out is that the big surprises are ones that we could never account for. The big surprises are things that there's no way we would possibly know. You know, a geopolitical event, okay, some major crisis, and that is a bigger story. Okay, is if there's a crisis that we can't define, because everything that we know, obviously, we've been able to handle and cover. So I suggest you learn how to watch price, because I don't think Brexit has anything to do with it. I think they can figure out, and I don't think it'll change much of anything. Okay? I think that's the thing. I think we try to focus. I think we get so much news and such a cycle that we're always trying to focus on what they're trying to tell us to focus on, when 90% of the time what they're telling you is incorrect. It's the same incorrect it is when they continue to tell you that oil and the markets are going to go the same way. Okay? There is not necessarily a correlation. There can be on occasion, but there is not often enough to make it worth discussing. You certainly would not make any money trying to play the correlation. Okay? I think that I'm sick and tired of the political cycle and where it's, what it's going to do to the markets. I'm going to say now that the next president, whoever it is, the markets are going down. Okay? Again, the president and his policies don't have a direct effect on the market today. Okay? So, you know, let's not worry about that. What we really need to worry about is how are we going to protect our portfolios? Okay, that's the thing that you should be focusing on, is how are you going to protect your portfolio when the market collapses? You see, I didn't say if, because we know the market's going to collapse. Okay, again, this is not a panic pitch for you. This is not anything. This is a absolute fact, okay, that the markets are going to sell off. They always do. This is not going to be different this time. And are you going to be prepared? And that, I think, is the more important thing, is will you be prepared in the next market when the next market sells off? And I hope you are, you know, because at the end of the day, my goal in life is to help. Okay? My goal became to help the average trader, the average investor, to learn and to understand their portfolio better. And more importantly, learn to understand how we focus and what we're looking for. Because at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. And you're making money is good for me, and it doesn't affect me. I'm not giving it up to give it to you. And that's what, you know, I just want to see people be successful and be able to not have to go through the misery of losing it all. Okay, again, you know, because anybody who's been in it for a while, it's been, you know, a number of times already where we've seen these debacles. So I think that is an issue. And hopefully, you know, I'm doing a hedging class. I hope you take advantage of it. And again, I'm for you. I'm on your team. And again, I'm all for the learning and getting better. Okay. Now, the other interesting thing that is going on is the Bitcoin situation. Okay. Now, you know, I've always said that, you know, Bitcoin is something. Okay. I think that, you know, it has an opportunity to be a potential type of currency. But what I found interesting is that a lot of the poker sites, okay, a lot of the sites that are offshore are now only accepting Bitcoin, which means that's their way of getting around some of the new tax and some of the new things that governments are trying to get these guys, because Bitcoin is self-regulated, basically, which is one of the things I don't like about it. Okay, you know, there's been a couple of already shakedowns in the Bitcoin world. So I think those are issues to be concerned about. But overall, I think that should be sending you a message, you know, and subtly so, okay, that why are they only taking Bitcoin? Well, we'd have to think of the reason. Because remember, you know, Bitcoin, first of all, I'm sure they're scalping you on the bid and offer spread. So I'm sure they're taking less risk there. But also, you know, I'm sure they're converting it right away to whatever currency they are. And, you know, why are they only wanting to accept that? Because I think what you're seeing is a fear that there is going to be problems out there. So there's a lot of reasons for these things to happen. And a lot of things can go bad. And I think that's the feeling you're starting to see is that, indeed, there's some pretty big concerns. And my worries to you are words to you are, you know, that's why you want to be over well protected. Okay. And buying cheap puts or buying volatility or buying gold is not protecting the assets you own. Okay. That is something that is very important to understand that you need to, if you're going to hedge, which I recommend, but if you're going to hedge, you have to hedge directly against what you own, not against something that might correlate, because if it doesn't, then you've done nothing and you could potentially lose on both sides of that trade. So those are the important things to recognize. And, you know, I just want you to be happy. I want you to be protected. I want everything to be roses or aces for everybody. I mean, at the end of the day, I like I said, I love to teach it. I love to see success. I love to see happy stories. And hopefully the next time we have a market sell-off, because we will have one, I hope you have happy stories to tell. Because at the end, we want happy stories. Okay? We want you to be happy. We want everything to be in great shape. Just a couple of the guests we're going to have next week. We're going to have Anthony Scaramucci from Skybridge Capital next week. We're going to have Jeff Sika is going to come back and maybe a couple other surprise guests. But in the meantime, if you ever miss an episode, and how dare you miss one of my shows? No, I'm just kidding. You go to libertytalk.fm. You can get the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. But also make sure you check out Bubba Trading, just even if just to read the things that I'm writing about, because I'm pretty vicious with the pen. I have some fun with it. So check that out. And we've got a bunch of new things happening. Excited to share them with you. And we'll get them all to you. But for today, that'll do it for the Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. And make sure you have a great evening. We appreciate you. Always appreciate you being here. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Every night, everybody. Thank you so much. And we'll see you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.